Hello and welcome to the Indie Business Podcast. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Today's show is sponsored by SoapEquipment.com, serving the cosmetics industry since 1996. Whether you're a professional or beginner cosmetics manufacturer, or even an avid hobbyist, you will find the perfect equipment, tools, supplies, and accessories you need to expand your handmade beauty business. Get more information at SoapEquipment.com. Well, Facebook, right? You can't get away from it. Love it or hate it, it is here to stay. And as a small business owner myself, I am count myself as one of the people who is happy that Facebook is here today. And we've got someone with us on the show today who has just gone up and down Facebook and pulled the most useful things that Facebook has to offer for us as small business owners. I am excited to have him on the show today. His name is Justin Levy. He is the author of the number one best-selling book, Facebook, Designing Your Next Marketing Campaign, Facebook Marketing. This book is out in its second edition, and Justin Levy is the Director of Business Development, Marketing, and Client Relations at New Marketing Labs, a new media marketing agency that helps large and mid-sized businesses drive business value through the use of social media, blogs, community platforms, and other new online social tools. He has worked with some amazing clients. His lists include Sony, Microsoft, Citrix, Pearson Education, and Molson Coors. He is also a partner and general manager of Caminito Argentinian Steakhouse, a traditional steakhouse that has successfully used social media to drive sales. And now I'm hungry, Justin. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So listen, Justin, Facebook is an amazing thing, and one of the cool things about your book is that you have a little information here at the very beginning to give us an idea of how Facebook started. So for people who don't know that, Justin, can you give the quick rundown of how this fantastic, amazing website started?
Yeah, so Facebook started, I'll give you the 30-second overview of it. It started with Mark Zuckerberg and a few of his friends. Mark Zuckerberg is the CEO of Facebook, for those that recognize the name but might not be able to place him. It started at Harvard University, and it started with Mark was a guy that kind of tinkered with stuff and made platforms, you know, made these kind of websites and things like that. And one of them was that he decided that he wanted to try to take the Facebook that we would get in college, you know, the physical book that would have the faces of all Inkman freshmen, and for his dorm or his building, he wanted to try to create that online. So he created something called FaceMash originally that eventually transcended into the Facebook and then Facebook, and hacked into the system to pull all those photos off the computer system from the school and launched this site. And it grew rapidly from there. You know, in the book we mention all the stats and kind of how that grew, but I won't bore you that way. But just know that it went from just a one dorm room at Facebook. The one dorm room at Harvard. It grew from there to all the campus, from that campus to a select number of schools in the Boston area, from there to all colleges in the Northeast. From colleges in the Northeast, it went out to all colleges, then to incorporated high schools, then everybody. And all that happened within the period of about a year or so, pretty rapidly, to grow to where they stand now, which is, you know, more than 500 million users, active users, with 50% of them logging in on a daily basis, spending on average of 55 minutes a day on the platform.
Wow, amazing. And, you know, we all hear a lot of news about Facebook all over the media today, and we're going to really get into some nitty-gritty tips to help small business owners use it as a successful marketing tool. But first, Justin, I kind of want to ask you if you'd share a little bit of detail or background on some of the brouhaha that's going on in the privacy arena where Facebook is concerned. Of course, as small business owners, we use it personally and professionally. What are some of the things that we need to know about from a privacy perspective to maximize our use of Facebook?
Sure. So, you know, one of the first things I like to, you know, t- talk to people about or position when it comes to privacy is people tend to forget that this is a social network that's the third largest country in the world behind China and India currently, and grown at a rate that'll probably outpace them for size as they look to target 1 billion users or being the first social network to get to 1 billion users. They are trying to manage. A lot of people, what happens is Facebook will make an update, be it to privacy or any other feature within the network, and everybody revolts. And that's not to say that Facebook gets it right every time or doesn't screw up, or you got to remember it's a 26-year-old CEO. So, you know, it's not to say that they always get it right, but they are trying to manage an entire country, one of the world's largest countries. And we know the issues that we have just in our country with trying to do something like pass healthcare reform or anything like that. Try to think of it in that terms. I mean, they're trying to make decisions for 500 million people worldwide, not just you, so, or not just you and your group of friends. That said, there are a lot of things that happen that they are trying to protect you by, and one of the things that I think people fall into the most is that they get up in arms when we talk about that Facebook owns all your data, and they'll do what they want with it. But that's what would happen if you give that information to anybody. If you give any information to any social network, Facebook or otherwise, consider that gone. I mean, consider that out of your control. And it's not to say that they'll ever do anything negative or malicious with it, mm-hmm. but the second that you upload any data into any social network, it's probably backed up thousands of times because of their redundant systems to ensure that their network stays up. So you upload a photo into Facebook, whether or not you want that photo to be seen by your employer, by your colleagues, by your family, by your friends, whoever you want to see that photo, you know, guess that that photo is gone. It might never come back to haunt you, but even if you delete that photo and it's not a photo that you care to share with the world, that photo's probably been backed up several times by Facebook. Again, because they just have a need as a service to back up their data in case anything happens to it. But when you think about privacy, you have to consider both your personal and your kind of professional brand, whether that is that you have a true personal brand that you've built up that people know you by, whether it's that you have this personal life and professional life. You know, we grew up before social networks with the ability to punch into our 9-to-5, leave, and be someone different at nights and on the weekends. You know, you're someone different around your friends and family than you are around your coworkers. Whether that's you're a little more, you know, stern during the day and you're more relaxed at night, or, you know, you like sports or other indulgences at night or on the weekends as opposed to during the workday. Those things were always, they always had a line in the sand between the two, unless you went to a barbecue or something like that with your coworkers or went out for a couple beers after work with some of your coworkers. That's changed now, and so you have to decide how much of that you want to share with the world through tools such as Facebook. And, you know, that's where I think people get confused with the privacy. You know, Facebook actually offers you a large range of privacy features. Again, they have admitted that they've gotten it wrong a couple times, and some people have gotten very upset at them, rightfully so. But they actually allow you now to separate out your personal and professional life. So you can upload photo albums that you only allow a certain list to see. So you might have a list of friends, family, and colleagues, three separate lists. You might upload holiday pictures at the same time that you're uploading culture photos that you took of your team. So your team out, you know, doing something in the community. You want to upload what the culture of work that your business is like. You can upload both those photos to your personal profile now, but share one set with one list, being your family and friends, and another, you know, the other photos with your colleagues. So there's not the cross, but there you have to understand how those privacy settings work to enable to draw that line where you want that line to be drawn.
Justin, I've noticed that some people now have business pages on Facebook while they do not at all maintain a personal page. Can you share a little bit about, from a business perspective, how that works, and what are some of the pros and cons of doing it that way as opposed to having both a personal profile and a business page on Facebook?
Yeah, so are you referring to an individual's business page, or are you referring to, I work for New Marketing Labs, and New Marketing Labs has its own page, and I also maintain a personal profile?
I'm speaking on this question, Justin, about an individual who is a person and also owns the business.
Gotcha. Yeah, sure. So some people have chosen to have a personal presence or not on Facebook, and that would be through your personal profile. Even if you were to have some professional brand and wrapped around it, or things, some people choose to have that personal profile or not. But the more important part of it for the small business owner or for any business owner or someone that works for a company is the brand's presence on there. Again, with 500 million people on there, your customers, your prospects, and people that are doing research on your company live on Facebook, at least some portion of them. And so you can use a Facebook page to create a presence for your business that you can use as, you know, brand management, presence management. You can use it to build up authority and thought leadership as a way to interact with your customers, provide customer service, promotions, hold discussions and conversations with your customers, and share things with them that you don't have to do through a personal profile, so that you brand the business. And you can also, if you choose to, have your personal profile on the side or hidden from that. They're not the same.
So a person who doesn't have a Facebook page now can go to Facebook.com and just set up a business page and not be, quote-unquote, findable as an individual. Is that true? You can do that on Facebook?
Yes, you have to create a profile through Facebook, but you can completely hide that profile from all searches.
Okay.
So your personal profile can be completely hidden so that you don't ever show up. People can't find you unless you request them.
So, and the reason I'm asking this is because for a while it seemed like you had to have a personal page in order to also have a business page. And honestly, when you go to the homepage on Facebook, you know, the create a page is kind of down at the bottom. It's not real intuitive to be able to find it there. But have you noticed in working with individual small business owners as opposed to big brands, who obviously don't have, you know, their own personal pages because they're big brands, but, you know, as a small business owner, you're kind of both, as you said. So do you notice some pros and cons of having a professional business page where the personal page is, in fact, hidden? I've seen some people do that very successfully.
Well, I think that they're two different things. So I think we need to be careful not to confuse them. Your personal profile is just that. It's your personal profile. How you choose to brand that or use that is up to the individual. But having a business page for your company should be an essential part of your marketing campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Or else I wouldn't have written 200 pages on it.
So let me ask you this. If you already have a personal page, and I'm asking this because I've gotten this question a lot. If you already have a personal page, let's say you have a personal page with 500 people, and you've been interacting with both business and personal people on that page, and then you also created a business page, and let's say you have 1,000 people there, and you're, you know, so some people are struggling a little bit with, you know, having to maintain two pages where there are business people. So my question is this: if you have both now, can you hide that personal page and keep that business page as active as it's always been, but hide the personal one so that only your personal, you know, friends and family can interact with you there?
Sure, you definitely can. You know, I would push back a little bit and say, you know, people question, and I certainly understand it takes a lot of time. There's not a lot of cost in social media, but there is a lot of sweat equity. There's a lot of your time that goes into managing all these presences. So if you're talking about that, you have a personal presence on Facebook and a professional one, you have a personal presence, a professional one on Twitter and Flickr and YouTube, and very quickly that web can grow out of control. However, at the same time, it's your business. So if that's your heart and soul, if you're a small business owner, you're going to do whatever it takes to brand that company so that, you know, I don't see the management of my New Marketing Labs pages, because I have multiple of them, or we have multiple of them, and I have multiple pages for Caminito. I don't see that as additional stresses in keeping up my presence management. Sure, it's something that I have to ensure that I put time into, as well as my personal brand, which I've built up. But to answer your question, you can most certainly hide or completely hide your profile from searches from that point forward, but remember that you'll still have those using kind of the stats that you use, you'll still have those 500 people that you did develop a personal and professional relationship with because you're using your profile. The other thing is that that's going to be dependent on the type of business that you're in and who you're marketing to and the type of personality you are. Because for some people, take Gary Vaynerchuk, for instance, who's a good friend of mine. He owns Wine Library down in New Jersey and is a popular videographer or video guy, video blogger on Wine Library TV and kind of all across a bunch of different platforms. People, some of the reason people go to Wine Library is because of him. Or a lot of people go there because of him. So for him to have that personal brand, that personal profile is a big deal because people want to connect with him, not so much maybe the logo of Wine Library, even though now they have their own fans that connect with them and with the other staff that works there. So you have to decide also how your company is seen. You know, my company, my restaurant is very much myself and my co-owner. We're branded pretty much throughout that. People know Cam Needle, but they also know us because of how we put ourselves out in the community. So we do a lot of business between our personal profiles that never hits our Facebook page for the business.
Excellent thoughts about personal branding and corporate branding from our guest today, Justin Levy, the author of Facebook Marketing, Designing Your Next Marketing Campaign. When we come back, we're going to talk with Justin about doing just that. Developing a Facebook marketing strategy. This is the Indie Business Podcast. We'll be right back.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to the Indie Business Podcast. We're here today with Justin Levy, the author of Facebook Marketing, Designing Your Next Marketing Campaign. And by the way, you can connect with Justin on Facebook at Justin Levy, and you can also connect with him on Twitter at twitter.com/Justin Levy. Justin, we've got a question from one of our listeners today, Selena Cozart at Salomis. On Twitter, she wants to know if you can share some effective strategies for integrating Facebook with external business sites. So I'm thinking about cross posting and effective strategies for efficiently updating your Facebook page. Can you share some ideas on those two things?
Yeah, so we'll break them out. So the first one is in integrating it with your external sites, you absolutely want to integrate it as much as possible because you want to. Your website or your blog, depending on what that is, or your website and your blog, is going to be part of your home base. If you think of social networks, Facebook being one of them, as an outpost, and your website, your blog is your home base because you control that home base. So you don't control what happens to Facebook beyond the fact that you're posting there. So you want to integrate those back and forth with one another. Facebook allows you to do some things like you could create the custom tab using Facebook markup language. You could create a custom tab that carries your brand and you can upload your logos and your photos and things of that nature. But to bring it back to your site, Facebook gives you all sorts of tools that you can use, and then you can always go to custom solutions. But one of the easiest ones is to incorporate the Facebook fan box, and you can actually take a box and you can put it onto your site. You've probably seen them. They look like Facebook, and they'll usually either have your fans, or now called likes, bio photos there, and it'll say how many people have liked it, or it might have the stream. But you can incorporate that so that people can actually become fans of your brand on Facebook while they're interacting around your site. You can also use call to actions to push them there too, or, you know, custom-made buttons that you might have. You know, you might make one for Twitter and one for Facebook, and you could do things like that. You can also integrate other systems like Facebook Connect if you wanted to. If depend on if you have membership on your site, you might use something like Facebook Connect to take advantage of Facebook's platform as opposed to your own registration platform. Then you could build, using Facebook Connect, you can kind of endlessly build things in there that would talk between the two or allow different levels of interaction. So that would be one way to kind of build that external relationship relationship between your external websites and your Facebook page. The other question that you asked is regarding auto-posting or cross-posting. And I highly can't say how much I'm against it. I'm so against cross-posting. Because you have different, I understand, just like we were talking about before the break, that this can become a strain. You gotta keep up with Twitter, your personal Twitter, and your personal Facebook, and your professional Twitter, and your professional Facebook, and you might have a YouTube account. You might have 13 other platforms to worry about, or whatever that number is for you. So the easiest way most people think is, well, I can cross-post. I'll post something into Facebook and I'll send it to LinkedIn and Twitter at the same time. But you've built up different communities and those communities have different rules of engagement on them. So, you know, that's why I'm totally against it. So that, you know, if you, say, use a cross-post, and, you know, ping.fm is an example of them, is one of these tools, is that you can use it to post to Twitter, and it'll automatically post to your Facebook as your Facebook status update into LinkedIn. But if you use the at symbol as you normally would in Twitter, that's not going to show up the right way in Facebook, even though now Facebook has that kind of mentions or tagging feature inside of it as well. So it's going to literally show up in Facebook how you would type it into Twitter, but they have two different languages to them. The communities are different. The way that they can take in links or things of that nature are different. So I would highly suggest that you don't cross-post. You don't kind of post your tweet to your status update sort of thing. You should integrate them. Look at ways that you can integrate, move your communities around, because if Facebook falls tomorrow, you want to be able to kind of pick up and go on to whatever the next tool is, or also to move them around because you interact in a different way on Twitter because that's real-time than you might on your Facebook page. But please don't cross-post. You'll probably bleed community members at some point because of that.
So you're basically saying that any short-term efficiencies that we get out of cross-posting are completely obliterated by the long-term adverse effect on your community.
It could, and I'm just not willing to take that chance with my community.
Okay. Well, let's talk about community for a second. When you say community, what exactly do you mean? Because that term... I think a lot of small business owners struggle with what does that mean. I mean, I'm trying to sell products. Well, now I'm a community leader, too. Share what you mean by that. You talk about developing community quite extensively in one of the chapters in your book.
Definitely. So we all have communities. It's just that we probably never thought of them as communities before these online tools came around. Your customers are part of a community. There's people that are out there talking about your brand and your service and your industry all the time that form a community, whether or not they're your community or they're the industry's community, they're still there. And you have the ability to develop these communities and create fans or super fans of your brand and of your products and services that will go forward and help you market. Because when you're a fan of something or you're a super fan of that brand, you're going to go out and you're going to market for them without the company even having to ask you, because word of mouth is so powerful. And that's what these platforms allow you to do, is just use word of mouth marketing just in a new way, that instead of me having to tell you that I really like the service, I can instead tell 2,000 people on Facebook instantaneously, and they can take that message and share it with their network and quickly build that social graph or that social web using their social graph. So there's different ways that you can build these kind of communities, or you can build these strategies using Facebook, and you have to decide which one is right for you. So I kind of break break it down in the book into kind of three main ways that you could build a strategy using Facebook and integrating it with your marketing. The first would be, you know, a community building strategy. The second be promotions, and the third be straight advertising. And with a community building strategy, you want to bubble them up. So one thing that we did with Caminito when we started Caminito and we started our blog and our presence management online was that we knew that with this foodie revolution that's currently happening with Food Network and, you know, Top Chef and all these other shows that are out there, we knew that there was tons of people that really cared a lot about cooking, and they weren't just your grandmother. They were everybody. They are becoming kind of foodies or food hobbyists now and cooking hobbyists. So we wanted to bubble those people up from their normal day jobs as a secretary or as a executive or, you know, whatever their job is, and get them to engage with us. So
why do you use the term bubble? What do you mean by bubble people up?
You want to bring them up to the surface. We all have these hobbies and we all have these interests inside of us, or that we do, that we might not know that everybody else is around us. There might not be we might not know of the niche network that exists within there. So I have 15,000 followers on Twitter, for example. There is some portion of those folks that are interested in, that are foodies, that are through and through foodies, that would be potentially interested in the content that I may want to share through my restaurant or through my online presences for the restaurant.
Okay.
So I want to bubble up those interests. I want to take those 15,000 people and bring the foodies up to the surface. I want to bring those interests out of them, out of the people that normally I might have a marketing conversation with. But that's just mine. That's not saying for everybody. I mean, that's my stretch.
Your example, though, is really good. So what you're saying is you have, and I'm using you as an example because you are, so this is good. You are a person, and you have different communities and followings under your name that you've developed, but you're also a business owner at the steakhouse, and you're also an executive at a marketing company. So in general terms, Justin, you're saying that the overall Justin Levy, the overall brand, the overall persona there, has certain niches within that persona that you can bubble up and create separate communities to address those areas of interest. Is that a fair way to summarize it?
It's a fair way to summarize it, but I would also say don't lock yourself into that, because that's not just based on something, a hobby of mine. Because I am a marketing executive, I also belong to marketing groups. I'm part of marketing communities. I'm part of, you know, communities based around sports and then I'm based around other hobbies of mine, such as staying fit or working out, things like that.
Right.
But I might also belong to an online community because of the type of car I own, or the city that I live in, or the section of the city I live in, or the gadgets that I have. I might belong to an iPad community or an iPhone community. So there's just way. That's one way that you can use Facebook, is to build these communities, to bring together these people that have like interests around something, whether it be your brand, your industry, your product, your service, or if you're thinking about starting a hobby of yours, you know, making that a career or a job or a business, you could start it around that.
So I want to stick with this bubble up idea for a second before we move on, because I do want to cover the promotions and advertising. So when you find this mini niche or this bubble up area that you can sort of tap into, do you recommend doing that from your business page, or do you create a separate community for that? What are your thoughts on utilizing and leveraging these communities without creating confusion?
Well, it depends on what your strategy is, and I can't repeat that enough. You know, you really have to go back, and you have to, everything I've said throughout this interview, you have to take that, and you have to know what your strategy is, and then you have to work against that strategy knowing what your success metrics are. So what is your end goal? And that's going to determine whether or not that should be your business's page, or that should be a separate page, or maybe it should be both, depending on the type of community you have. So, you know, we have, you know, at NML, we're in social media, and we do a lot of work with new media marketing tools and things like that. We will continue to build our community around our brand, but our community includes not only fans of our brands and our clients and our prospects, but it also includes people that are interested in marketing, social media, and the digital channel, because of, those are, we're trying to be seen as thought leaders in our space.
Mm-hmm.
So the content and the presence that we hold, we hope is of a thought leadership quality, so that you'll take that information and carry it forward. So it's all depend on what your strategy is, but you can't do any of this or you won't do it well unless you know what your strategy is.
Okay, so these are all, of course, high-level examples, and we obviously need to, apply everything to our own business. But let me ask you this. Do you care whether or not your business following or the people in your business niche know about your favorite car or, you mentioned fitness and things that really don't have anything directly anyway to do with marketing or with your steakhouse? Do you use those things against each other, or you totally keep them separate? What are your thoughts on that?
No, it depends on your strategy, but for me,
mm-hmm.
I tend to, like most humans, like to do business with friends, and I like to do business with people that I have similar interests in. So I can't tell you, I can't recount the number of leads that I've developed or closed or customers I've gotten into the restaurant because of someone seeing something like my wedding photos online or
right.
me at a Boston Red Sox game.
Right.
And that drums up a conversation about hating the Red Sox or loving the Red Sox or used to living in Boston or what section of Boston do you live in or, oh, we've never been there before. And that starts up and suddenly now you get that intro call that you're looking for or you just find someone to have interest with. You know, when you start a new office, you end up, migrating out kind of and become magnetic to people that have a similar interest to you. That's the same thing that you want to do. So I love that people know that I have this day job and I have this business at NML and I have my restaurant. I'm a Red Sox fan. I got married in Southern Connecticut on the water. I've been here, I've been there, and I've done this because that allows me to have really rich, in-depth relationships and conversations with people that may or may not lead to business in the future.
Excellent ideas and insights from today's guest, Justin Levy, the author of Facebook Marketing, Designing Your Next Marketing Campaign. We're going to come back, and in our final segment, we're going to pick Justin's brain about some promotion strategies and some advertising strategies right here on the Indie Business Podcast. Don't touch that mouse. We'll be right back.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to the Indie Business Podcast. We're talking today with Justin Levy, the author of Facebook Marketing. And before we took our break, he was sharing the three ways to develop a marketing strategy. And number one is community. We talked about creating sort of the bubble up of people in different sort of niches within the overview of your life. So let's talk now, Justin, about the promotion strategy. Talk a little bit about that.
Definitely. So, another way that you can use Facebook, another strategy of using Facebook is for promotions. And that might include wanting to promote an upcoming webinar, that might be a new product, that might be that you're speaking at a conference or that you're going to do a book signing, for instance, if you're an author at a certain bookstore in a certain area, any number of things that you might want to promote. And Facebook offers you multiple tools for that. One, if you spent time on the first strategy on building your community, you'll be able to turn to your community and they'll help carry your message forward. Just a bit of a warning on that, don't ask them too often. Don't make your whole whole stream or your whole conversation just promotional and one-way push, or else you'll kind of violate the reason why you built that community in the first place. But secondly, you can use it to help them carry the message forward. You know, Chris Brogan, a colleague of mine, spent 10 years building up his community. Most people know him as chrisbrogan.com and at Chris Brogan on Twitter, and Chris Brogan all across the web. And he was able to ask his community, a select group of influencers, the night before his book came out, if they would, you know, there were people that had gotten his book and what have you, and asked if they were would be willing to write a blog post and help him carry the message forward and promote his book launch the next day. And that next day we saw the sales of his book go from being in top 1,100 or 1,200 on Amazon's bestseller list to being number 34. So it jumped over 1,000 spots on Amazon's bestseller list, and had Amazon executives calling up his publisher, Wiley, asking what was going on.
Now, did he do this on Facebook or Twitter or both?
He used multiple platforms for it. But, you know, using Facebook, this is one thing you could do, is you can ask your communities to help you with whatever your promotion is, or to give you feedback. You might have just released a new product and you want some feedback from your community. But you can also couple that with Facebook ads. And you can run Facebook ads, and, you know, this kind of bleeds into the kind of advertising strategy too, so that we're not repetitive. You know, what Facebook ads allows you to do is to launch CPC, so cost per click, or CPM, cost per impressions, or cost for impressions, and let you build these ads. You'll see them when you're on your personal profile. They're always running in the right-hand sidebar, and allows you to target those ads to people that meet whatever your demographics are of that promotion. So, for example, if you were looking for 25 to 35-year-old males that are single in Boston, or within 25 miles of Boston, and that had a graduate degree, for example, just some random demographics, you could plug those all into Facebook's advertising platform, and it would spit back that it had 105,632 people that fit that demographic.
So you can get all that information before you even purchase your ad, correct?
Absolutely. So that allows you to add that as part of your promotion campaign, because you might have a webinar, for example, that you want marketing professionals to come to, or, you know, carpentry or construction individuals come through, and you could search based on what people's interests are, the profile, your kind of buyer persona, what their age range is, whether they're male or female, or that doesn't matter, whether they have to be a certain kind of level in their school, and you could launch an ad to go along with your promotions. You might just launch an ad. You might want to promote your Facebook page. You might want to brand that some more. So you could launch Facebook ads to encourage people to like or become fans of your page. And you might couple that with some type of prize or some type of giveaway for the 1,000th fan or the 5,000th fan or whatever, depending on what your goal is and what number you're already starting out at. But you can couple those things together. You can also take advantage of some of the other platforms and tools available to you in Facebook. So I mentioned it before, like the Facebook markup language. It allows you to create custom tabs on your Facebook page where you can really carry over some branding. If you want good examples of ones, go to facebook.com/VW or /office, slash Coca-Cola. They all have them. And you can go see what I mean, and you can create these custom branded areas. So one of my friends, Darren Rouse, who's pro blogger online and runs ProBlogger.net, which is probably the most successful blogging site in the world, he recently integrated a new tab onto his Facebook fan page because he wanted people to know how they could connect with him. And he shared in a blog post how he did that. But that's a quick way to, and then you could, you know, to engage with your client, with your customer or your prospect, something that's custom and branded to what that promotion is, and then you launch a Facebook ad around it.
Okay, good. So it really is about strategizing in advance about what your goals are and then taking a look at the different tools that are available and integrating them, really.
Absolutely. It's all about you. Always, everything should start and end with, you know, what your strategy is and what your success metrics are.
Okay.
And that just doesn't apply just to Facebook. That should apply to 100% of your business dealings. But, you know, on Facebook and these other platforms, it certainly matters because you use a lot of the same tools but in different different ways to accomplish different goals. So you can use Facebook ads as a promotional vehicle or as a community building vehicle or as a straight advertising platform. But unless you knew that and you knew what success looked like for you, mm-hmm. you would drop hundreds or thousands or more of dollars into Facebook's ad platform and probably sat on the other end because you didn't know what was going to be success for you.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that. What do you mean when you say success metrics? Define what you mean for us and how do we measure that?
Well, you have to know what are your business goals and what are the goals of why you're engaging and what, whether that's to increase business, you know, increase sales of your widget, you might want more subscribers to your email campaign. You might want more blog subscribers. You might just want more fans. You might just want as many fans as you can possibly get. You might want clicks through to your website. You might want referrer traffic. Oh, the world, the online world is filled and our offline business worlds are filled with thousands of metrics out there. And you have to know which ones you're going after with your social media engagement or your Facebook engagement specifically. And then you find ways to measure that. So, you know, if you just want fans, well, that's okay. And there's nothing wrong with that as long as you know that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want more fans and you think that's going to get you more blog subscribers who are going to then click and share your stuff more and, you know, there's going to be kind of these four different metrics in place, you have to know how to measure that because just getting a lot of fans is not going to equal more blog subscribers if they're not engaged fans. So if your goal is to have more blog subscribers, for example, and you just are worried about the highest number possible, you're going to be sorely disappointed on the end because you didn't decide how you can measure that and how you'd get there. So if you want more blog subscribers, you might create a custom tab that encourages people to visit your blog. You might have your blog post pulled in automatically. You might have to analyze how you're writing your blog to see if you can, you know, if you need to tweak it or any one of those metrics. So you just have to understand what success looks like for you. And it's different for everybody. It's different for every industry and every business. But once you know that, you can go about that and about your strategies in Facebook and properly develop them. It might be that you just want to develop community. So in that case, the number of conversations that you have and the amount of fans that you have are what's going to matter to you.
The number of conversations and the amount of fans. So obviously numbers are important if that's what your goal is. But when you're talking about conversations, what are your best tips for helping small business owners, Justin, who are not new to Facebook in the sense that they know what it is, but are new to the concept of developing the strategies that you're talking about? Is one of the first things you do, you know, start listening to what's going on in the community so that you can build the kinds of relationships that you're talking about?
Absolutely. In some ways, you want to know what your specific community needs and wants. And when I say your community, even though you might just be developing your actual brand's community, what your industry wants. So what's everyone, if you're in technology, what's everyone talking about today? Everyone currently today, as we're going on, is talking about that Google has released a platform for to create your own app through Android, the Android platform, or something like that, for instance. So a couple things are in that is that you need to know, like you said, listen to what your community is talking about or your potential community and how they interact. Some are more chatty than others. Some like to share. Some like video. Some might prefer podcasts like this one. What do they like? And then, you know, what do you think they need? And don't let that be so right-wing and out there in the middle of, you know, left field. But what do they need? What do you think they need? So you might see a need for video because no one else is doing video. Well, that might be a way that you could provide that information. You might see that your industry, you know, the conversations are very, very high level in that your competitors, it might be going over your community's head or your potential customer's head. So how could you take this big subject like Gary did? Gary took wine, which for most of us is very hard to understand
mm-hmm.
and very frustrating. And he took it down to describe a glass of wine like it tastes like dirt with some rubber burned into it, lit on fire with mint afterwards. And you're like, well, I've never tried that combination in life, but I can imagine it. So, okay, I'll decide whether or not I want to buy that bottle of wine now, where as opposed to, you know, it rolls off the back of your tongue and it hits, you know, the notes of this. You know, we don't understand that. Most of us don't. So you might choose that you need to bring it down to a kind of in plain English level for your community. Whatever those are, listen, figure out what your community needs, and then produce against that and for that. And also think about how you can, one great way to build community is make it about them. Don't make it about yourself. No one gives a damn about your stupid product or your stupid, you know, service or whatever. We don't. No one cares. And no one cares that I own a steakhouse in the middle of Northampton unless I make them care, unless I find ways to bubble that community up, to create that community to move it forward. So, you know, what I'd encourage people to do is to do that, make it about them, help promote their stuff, go find their blog and promote their blog on your platform if they're writing good content. Share stuff about them or ask them what they want. You know, I do something very simple once a week or so. I'll ask people how their day is going, and I'll get 50, 60 responses within seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Just because people just like to be asked how their day is going, because it just, it's a nice break from all the you know, normal stuff that's on there. And also see how you can curate information besides the thought leadership stuff that we've already talked about, how you can develop great content. How can you curate information? So one of the things that I do is I read, you know, anywhere from 400 to 1,000, and I know that's a wide range, but, you know, usually settles in 400 to 600 articles per day, subscribe to about 8 magazines, and read 1 to 2 books a day. I mean, yeah, a day. 1 to 2 books a week, in addition to 4 to 6 newspapers a day. And I curate the best of that information for my community. So my community can find that information through several outlets, but they can connect with that and learn, or hopefully learn from it, or get a download of the 20 best things out of those 600 articles. So try that with your community, and that will help to build and grow your community as well.
Okay, good. So you're taking the focus off of yourself, taking it off of your product, putting it on your community. And if you've done a good job right of engaging the right people, then naturally your community will become interested in what it is that you have to offer, and that's an opportunity to share that with them. Is that right?
Sure, absolutely. It's you know, your community's gonna, it'll help you stay top of mind. And if you're producing great content, someone's eventually gonna say, or those people are gonna say, well, that's great. Well, what the hell is it that they do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, HubSpot produces amazing content. They're an inbound marketing company in Cambridge around here.
Yeah.
They produce amazing content, webinars and ebooks and comics and videos and music videos and this and a blog and that and everything. And eventually, I can't tell you how many times friends of mine have asked me, what is it that HubSpot does? They produce great content, but that gets them to ask the question. Now you might call HubSpot to sit through a demo, and then you might decide to buy because of the content that they generated.
Right. This is great information from today's guest, Justin Levy, author of Facebook Marketing, Designing Your Next Marketing Campaign. Justin, thanks for these fantastic tips and insights. Tell us, where do we go to get more information about you, to purchase your book, and find out what you have to share, and when we want to become engaged with you?
Absolutely. You can find me at justinrlevy.com. That you can find me at Justin Levy anywhere around the social web, pretty much, and on my blog, you can find in the right-hand toolbar is an image of the book, and if you click on that, that'll take you to a blog post that I've launched that lists all the places that you can find it. Amazon, it's available for Kindle, it's not available for iBooks yet. It's available in all major bookstores nationwide.
And your professional Facebook page? Do you have a business page on Facebook too?
I have one for the book. I have, which is Facebook Marketing. I have one for New Marketing Labs. I have one for Caminito Argentinian Steakhouse. I use my personal profile for my own personal brand. So if you want, because I'm a human, and if people want to connect with me, they can find me just at Justin Levy on Facebook.com/Justin Levy.
Excellent. Wonderful. Well, we've got lots of places to find you, and if anybody missed all that, you can just go to Google and type in Justin Levy, L-E-V-Y, and you'll be able to find him at the place that you like to connect the most. Thank you so much for joining us today, Justin. It's been great to have you. I'm looking forward to seeing all of you here next week right here on Indie Business Podcast. I want you to know that you can go and you can listen to all of my shows, 5 years of them, because I've been doing this since October 2005, every week right here, all indie, all business, just for you at indiebusinessradio.com. And you can also read some textual summaries of my shows and listen to the podcast at indiebusinessblog.com. Just click on the podcast link, and you can also find me on iTunes as well. It's been great to have you all here. I'll see you next week right here on the Indie Business Podcast. In the meantime, enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.